Okay, we are on Daf Ket today. We're going to go back a little bit to Chet Amabet. First service, Watch the Mo, Torah, Batina, Oz, Avram, Shuba, Menkana, Karmi, Ban, Ima, Worli, Panina, Bat, Rachel, Frida, Chai, Malka, Esther, Bat, Zippor, Daniel, Ben, Miriam, Chai, Ruth, Yosef, Ben, Rachel, Leah, Bat, Rivka. Okay, we were talking about a get. What we discussed yesterday was that there's also called a get Shechur of Avadim. Okay, we're going to see today that they're often compared to the get of the woman. Okay, one of the reasons is it says, or the reason is it says v'katav la, which we learn the halacha of lishma, and by shifcha it talks about hufsha lo nitan la, and they darshan the la lags their ashavan. They say that many halachot of get isha are also true of get of avadim. Okay, another similarity between them we're going to see today is there's also a reason to be mekel on the same way we had this issue of a guna by a woman. So that's why we want to be mekel and allow this b'fanei nechtam, so that, you know, only by one witness, and that way we can make sure she doesn't become an aguna. Likewise, by an eved, okay, the issue with an eved is that when you have an eved knani, we talked about this yesterday, right? An eved knani is a non-Jewish eved. He becomes part of your house. He gets a brit milah. Now, what we didn't discuss yesterday is when you free him, what's his status? He's a Jew when you free him. So he becomes free, he turns into a full-fledged Jew. Now, why is this important? What's important about it is that when he's an Eved, he's not allowed to marry a Jewish woman. He can only marry a Shifcha. When he's free, he can marry a Shifcha, he can only marry a Jewish woman. So when he's at this in-between stage that you're not sure that someone's ma'ara on the get, he can't marry. Remember, we saw this with the chetzio ben chorin. If you have an eved that has two masters, it's the classic case, and one frees him and the other one doesn't. So according to the halacha, you force, right, there was a machloket about it, what we do, and Ben Hillel says you force the other adon to free him because otherwise he's stuck, he can't get married. He can't marry Shifcha, he can't marry...
He's already married, it's okay.
That's a good question. He might have to actually separate from his shifcha, I think, if he becomes a full-fledged Jew. I don't remember that you...
I think so also. He can say, I don't want to leave. I love my master. I love my wife.
Right. So that's an eved ivri. That's something else. Yeah, that's something else. But I think that he might have to... I'm not sure what happens if they're already married. But it's a very good question. I don't know the answer. But the main thing here is that he's also like an aguna. It's the same situation, okay? Here you have a situation where the guy's stuck and he can't get married, and that's why we're also mekel, the same way we're mekel in women, okay? So there's those two similarities. One is we're going to learn all sorts of things that are the same because of this la-la. It's not going to appear in the Gemara. That's why I'm telling you this. And another issue that's similar about them is this concern that we want to be mekel because of this aguna issue, or agun issue in this case. Okay, so we had a few different types of cases, right? One where it says atzmecha unichsayai knuyim lecha, right? And then we said that he goes free, but the boss's stuff doesn't belong to him because we don't believe him, right? He's the one who brings his own shtar, so he's believed when it comes not for the mamonot issue. He can't, right? Without good proof, you can't let him take out mamon from the hands of the adon. But then there was a back and forth about it exactly. And then we gave another case of what if he just says, oh, sorry, that one was clear. But the question was, what if it says, kol nichsayai knuyim lecha? Okay, it's where the two dots are, about 10, 11 lines from the bottom. He says, all of my nichasim are knuyim lecha. That's what the shtar says. So then what do we say? So then there was a back and forth, and we came to the conclusion, right, that Rava says, echad zeh, now we're jumping down to the five lines from the bottom. El amarava, echad zeh v'echad zeh, atzmo kana, nechasim lo kana. Okay, both cases, whether you said kol nechsayai, or whether you said atzmecha u'nechsayai knuyim lecha, okay, whether you had two statements or one, no matter what, we make that split. That he himself is going to go free, but the money is not going to be his. Okay, remember, this is the case where he brings his own shtar, and we don't have proof that this is a good, valid shtar or not. Amalei Rav Ad Bar Matna L'Rava. So now Rav Ad Bar Matna is questioning Rava, and he says, wait a minute, Kiman, are you saying that we go Kirabi Shimon, Da'amar Plagin Andibura, who says that we're allowed to take what he says and split it in two and say we're going to believe you from one perspective, but we're not going to believe you from the other perspective, right? We're going to believe you that kol nechseyai knuyim lecha includes yourself. Yourself is, you know, you can rebuy yourself back, but we're not going to believe you when it comes to the fact that all the rest of the nechassim at the Adon belong to him. So, are you saying, in other words, the assumption is we're allowing this because of Pagina and Dibura, in which case you must be holding like Rabbi Shimon. Now, we're going to see in a minute or two, or maybe three, why he doesn't think that we should be holding like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, that's going to be the gist of what he's saying. He's saying, are you saying that you believe like Rabbi Shimon, the Pagina and Dibura, but, okay, I'll already tell you the bottom line, but we don't pass him like Rabbi Shimon in this area. Okay? So, how do we know Rabbi Shimon says plugin on Dibura? Because there's a Mishnah that says, HaKotev kol nechasav la'avdo, if you wrote all your nechasim to your Eved, Yatza ben Chorim. Okay, he becomes a free man. This is, right, this is obviously not the case of ours, because our case was, we don't know for sure that he wrote it. This is a case where we know for sure that he wrote it, right? In our case, the Eved brings the shtar, but we don't know the validity of the shtar. But here, if the guy himself writes, you own all my property, so the guy goes free. And obviously, all the property belongs to him. But shi'er karka kol shehu. But if he held something back, okay? So the, Rashi says karka lavdafka, it could be anything. If he says everything is kanoi lecha, but then he holds something back, then Rabbi Shimon omer le'olam hu ben chorin. I skipped the words. Shi'er karka kol shehu lo yatza ben chorin. But if he holds something back at all, even if he doesn't hold back the Eved himself, but he holds something back, he says, everything is yours, but I'm holding something back, then the Eved doesn't go free. Why? Because the assumption is he's kind of canceling what he said, right? Rabbi Shimon Omer, le'olam hu ben chorin. No, in that case, he is ben chorin. Why? Because we're going to do pagin and dibure. We're going to say, right, if he was shi'er kol shehu, he still said, kol nechseyai knuyim lecha, right? Or, right, you can have all my nechassim, which included the Eved. The fact that he held back something in particular doesn't mean anything, right? Those are two, we can split his dibur and say, yes, he didn't necessarily mean all his nechassim because he held something back, but he did free the slave. Ad shi'omar, kol nechseyai netunim leploni avdi, chutz me'echad u'miribo shebahen. Okay, unless, in this case, Rabbi Shimon would agree that he's not ben chorin, if he says, all my property is given to you except for one very, 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 very small percentage of my stuff. Now, once he says that, then we can't let the Eved go free because why? We don't know what the small percentage of what he's holding back is. Even what he's saying is here, even if it's a teeny, weeny, weeny percentage, which maybe would be less than what the Eved is valued at, but still, he's leaving back something, and therefore we can know for sure that what he's leaving back is the Eved, and therefore we can't free the Eved. Okay? So, according to this, what's the point, though, that Rabbi Shimon, in the first case, held the Pogin and Dibure, right? Because he said, when it comes to himself, he's freed, and when it comes to the money, it's not his. So now, here's the part that relates to us. V'ha amar Rav Yosef bar Menume, amar Rav Nachman. Rav Yosef bar Menume passes down the name of Rav Nachman. Af al pisha kiles Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon halacha ke Rabbi Meir. Okay, so Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yumi passed down in the name of Rabbi Nachman that even though Rabbi Yossi praised Rabbi Shimon about what he said, we still don't paskin that way. Okay, the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. Who's Rabbi Meir? Why Rabbi Meir? He didn't appear here. So what do we always say? Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir. So the Stam opinion in the Mishnah must be Rabbi Meir. So what he's saying is we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So how could you say? How could you be poskening this way, Rava? You're poskening with Rabbi Shimon and against Rabbi Meir. Now we're going to have an aside. What he said was, right, Rav Yosef bar Menume said that Rabbi Yossi praised Rabbi Shimon. The halacha is like Rabbi Meir. So where do we see that Rabbi Yossi praised Rabbi Shimon? Titania, Kashina Emru Dvarim Lifne Rabbi Yossi, Kara Alav Hamikra Hazeh. Okay, when those things were brought in front of Rabbi Yossi, he said this pasuk about Rabbi Shimon. Sfatayim Yishak Meshiv Dvarim Nochachim. Okay, exactly what this means is up for debate. One person says Sfatayim Yishak means people will kiss the person who's Meshiv Dvarim Nochachim. In other words, you're so great, you said such brilliant things, people will want to kiss you. Okay, other people say shvatayim yishat means people will shut their mouths. And they'll close their lips. They'll be so awed by what you said that they're going to close their lips and not, you know, they'll be speechless. Okay, so either which way, you see here that he praised him for what he said. What you don't see here is, right, that they didn't pasken like him. But that we already know, and they're just saying, this story proves that he actually did praise him. But despite the fact that he praised him, we don't pasken that way. Okay, so now we have just to set up, we have this issue of palgina and dibure, right? Rava says palgina and dibure. Okay, that's why we say that the eved goes free, but he doesn't get the property if he brings a shtar that says kol nechsayai knunim lecha. Okay, so we're going to split his words. Then we have, right, that he holds like Rabbi Shimon kaner eb, because Rabbi Shimon's the one who holds pagina and tibure, and that's a problem because we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon, right? We don't hold like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore how could we explain that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon? So now, and that's because who says we don't hold like Rabbi Shimon? Rav Nachman. Okay, Rav Nachman says we don't hold like Rabbi Shimon on this issue. We don't say pagina dibure. Now we're going to say, wait a minute. Umi amar Rav Nachman hachi? Does Rav Nachman really think that we don't hold pagina dibure? What we're going to see now is that there's cases where we do hold pagina dibure. V'ha amar Rav Yosef bar Minyume amar Rav Nachman shchiv mera. Okay, what's a shchiv mirah before we go on? A shchiv mirah is someone on their deathbed, nachon, who says. A shchiv mirah is someone who's about to die. Now, there's all sorts of unique halachot about someone who's about to die. Again, it's another place where the halacha shows sensitivity. Someone's about to die, and all of a sudden they decide, I don't want to give the money the way my will has it, I want to change it. Now, generally, if you want to do that, you have to do a kinyan, you have to do it official, you have to write, you know, there's all sorts of halachot. Without a kinyan, you can't transfer ownership of things. But this guy, he's on his deathbed, you know, he could die any minute, and he's going to get all worked up, right, that he can't resolve his will issues, you know, and his financial stuff. So we allow, even if he just says it, that's enough, that we allow without a kinyan for him to change, you know, for him to give money to people, etc. He can do all sorts of things in a much easier manner so that we don't get him more worked up and upset, on his deathbed. So shchiv mera, so here he is lying on his deathbed. What does he decide to do? Shekatav kol nechasav la'avdo. Okay? He writes all his nechasim to his eved. Now another thing, by the way, about a shchiv mera is if he survives, okay, so now anything he says counts, right? Except what if he survives? What if he gets up the next day and lives, and he lives another 10 years? So, and then he says, well, I didn't want to do what I said. So just like we accept what he says, we also accept him to cancel what he did. Okay? So shchiv mera shekatav kol nechasav la'avdo ve'amad, and then he got well again. Chozer b'nechasim ve'eino chozer be'eved. Ah, what do you see? The fact that he freed his slave is now freed. You can't change that. Okay? So even though generally we say that, right? Now here, what do you have? He said kol nechsayan, right? All of my property. And yet, according to Rav Nachman, we're going to do pagina and dibure. We're splitting it because we're saying when it comes to his, now we're talking about his chazara, right? He's changing his mind. When it comes to that, well, he already freed the slave, emalaso. But when it comes to the money, he can change his mind. So now, so chozer b'nechasim matnat shchiv merahu. Okay, but now they say no. It's different because he can't be chozer be'eved because he already has a shame of ben chorin. So because of that, that's the reason. 1 second. Right, no, but this isn't an answer. 1 second. Right. This is just explaining why that's the case. Okay, the reason why. Okay, in other words, still we're going to say that Rav Nachman holds plagina and dibure, and just we're explaining why we're plagina and dibure in this case. And the reason is because once the eved became a ben chorin at that moment, therefore he's always a ben chorin. You can't change someone's status and change their status back, right? You can change whether this money belongs to so and so or belongs to someone else. Money always changes hands, but your status. Once you become free, you become a full-fledged Jew. You can't undo that and say, oh, now you're not. okay? Except for those who try to undo conversions. But
I was just going to say, I was just wondering whether I should say that in the intro. It seems that you could use this as a precedent for that.
Right, in theory. I think it's different because this is a matter of someone gave him his status, and there they're saying that the whole status was a mistake. In other words, the people who were canceling conversions, I mean, obviously, I don't think that people should be canceling conversions, and I don't agree with it, but I'm not sure there's a comparable case because I think the canceled conversions are just saying that there never was a good conversion to begin with. This is saying you freed him, but then you change your mind and you want to unfree him. Well, you can't do that.
And when it comes to money, we can... place at the time of death? Wasn't it a statement that was
basically... Right. It's a good question. Right. I also was thinking about that. Right. So that's why it says Shehari Yatzah Alav Shem Chirut. In other words, you already...
It already took place.
It didn't necessarily take place, but it was the name of Chirut came upon him. Like he was right. It's a good question. If it didn't really apply, so why would it be such an issue? Right. I don't know exactly because it does sound like it's going to apply once he dies. But I think it's like, you know, when you give someone a sense of freedom, it's and then you take it away from them. I think it's also like a sensitivity issue to this person of his status changing. Which also you could say for the Bitur Giyur. I mean, that's a major trauma for someone to have thought that they were converted and then find out years later that they're actually not. Or, you know, that's forget about their kids who've grown up thinking they were Jewish. That's why it's a big mess. So it's a somewhat similar, but I'm not sure it's the same. Okay, so now, Ela Amar Rav Ashi. So now Rav Ashi is going to explain why this is not a contradiction of Rav Nachman, okay? And what he's going to say is something else. Hatam hainu tama mishum delav kirut gitahu. Here, there's a separate issue, which is when you have a get shichur, you have to have, like, what's called kritut, okay? This is another similarity between get of a woman and get of an eved. There has to be definitive break of relationship, okay? And in this case, where the guy said, kol nechasav la'avdo, but left over some portion, right? Then I think, one second. Rabbi Meir, one second. Rabbi Meir holds, right. When we said that Rav Nachman holds like Rabbi Meir in the case of HaKotev Kol Nechasav La'avdo Yatza Ben Chorin, that's because there was never any clear-cut break, separation between the Adon and his Ebed, because he held back something. Now, when he holds back something, we're not sure. In other words, it's psychological. What was he doing when he said to his Ebed, everything's yours, but then he takes something back? Is he teasing him? Is he, you know, trying to make a mockery of him? Does he really mean it? Does he not? It's very unclear. So therefore, when there's lack of clarity, you can't have a get, not for a woman and not for an eved, with a lack of clarity. Because the pasuk says, right, the katav la sefer kritut. A sefer kritut is something that makes a very clear separation. We are no longer together. And this, in this case, Rav Nachman decides to paskin like Rabbi Meir because he said, when he says, kol nechasav la'avdo, and then he takes back something, it's unclear what he really intended. Did he really intend to make a separation from him or not? And that's why. In other words, there's a unique thing here that you need an extra level for get. Okay? So whereas in a different situation, maybe it would have worked. In this situation, it doesn't because of that issue. And therefore, that's why he said it, but not because he holds in general plugin and dibure. Okay? And therefore, and that's the reason why Rav Nachman could still hold Pagina Dibure, even though in that Mishnah, we paskin like Rabbi Meir. Okay, and that's not because of the issue of Pagina Dibure or not. It's in other words, Rabbi Meir could hold that you hold Pagina Dibure, but he still doesn't want to let the Eved go free because Ein Kritut, right? There's no clear-cut break and separation between them, and that's the issue, and not because he doesn't think you can be Pagina Dibure and split his words.
So leaving something to a slave does not automatically emancipate him.
It does if you don't take anything back. If you say all my property is yours.
But he's not necessarily taking something back. He's like, I'm leaving you everything except. He didn't say I'm leaving you everything.
No, that was the second case where he said I'm leaving you everything except. But then when he said I'm leaving you everything except and he didn't specify what the exception was, that was a problem. Okay? Because then maybe the exception was the Eved. Okay? I mean, you have to wonder why he'd give him all his property, yeah, but yeah, that's also very... Why would he anyway give his property to his head?
I mean, if he knew he was going to end up being a slave,
right,
continue to be a slave, why would you leave all your property?
Well, not only that, it's an issue, actually, because all of the Eved's property belongs to the Adon. So if he leaves him all his property and he doesn't free him, what he's really saying is... All of it goes back to me. Right, which I guess would go to his inheritors, whoever they are. Because the Eved then belongs to him, and all the property of the Eved belongs to him. So really, it's making the whole thing meaningless.
He said, I'm leaving everything except to 1 in 10,000, which I'm leaving to blank.
Right.
Would the slave then be free?
No, because it's not clear which... Maybe he... No, because...
But he said, I'm leaving...
Except for my house.
Which I'm leaving to...
So if he said, except for my house, then it would be clear. But if he says, except for, here he says, except for Echad Miribo Shebahen, one small percentage.
Yeah. That's
so we don't know what the small percentage includes. Maybe the small percentage includes the Eved. Maybe what he's really saying is, I'm not leaving you anything. Because if I'm not leaving you yourself, then all of it belongs to me still. You have to wonder why he's saying this. He's a little bit playing games with him. But again, that's the question. But if he gives his Eved, right, the Shier Kol Shehu is just, Shier Karka Kol Shehu, that's where he says it's all yours, but then he keeps something back. And then it becomes unclear, well, is he canceling his whole thing? What did he mean, really? Why is he, because in the second case, he says except for some random percentage, which then creates that problem. Here, he said, you know, he said it's all yours, but then he took something back. So then that also raises the question. So they each raise different issues. But then in the Emor of Ashi says that whole issue with where he took something back is not because Pagina Dibure, right? The issue is he didn't make a clear break. And it's not clear what he meant. And when his intentions aren't clear, you can't use that as a free. He can't be free. Okay?
Is it possible that he did it because this way he avoids the lien on the property and then people, like, in terms of tuba or other things that are...
It could be. My sense is the reason why he's giving his stuff to his Eved is because he doesn't, you know, you can imagine this situation. This happens definitely in rare cases, but there are cases where a person doesn't have a lot of close family in the end of their lives. Who takes care of them? Their Eved, right? And they end up with this very close relationship with their Eved. And they don't feel close to any of their other relatives. You can also imagine a situation where people's relatives didn't care about them, didn't do anything for them when they were sick or old. Or, you know, this guy took care of them day and night. And in the end, he says, you know what, I'm going to give you all my property. You can imagine something like that happening. But the vague thing is strange. The vague, why would he all of a sudden, you know, and then what does it mean? If
he's gossess.
So therefore what? He might not be clear-headed, you're saying? That's also another thing. I mean, it's actually a basic question with the Shchiv Meira, that on the one hand, we're taking anything he says and we're saying it applies no matter what. On the other hand, you have to be concerned that a gossess might do crazy things, you know, it might not be clear... headed about it, and that's also complicates things. Right, exactly. Okay, so we're going to move on. The Mishnah now we're moving on to a totally different thing. The end of the last Mishnah, because we're about to get to the next Mishnah finally. I told you it'll take about 9 pages. Im yesh alav orin, yitkayim b'chotamav. Right? If this get now has people who you know, go against it, this was the case of, right, this is, I think, if you didn't say b'fanai nechtam, right? And then... Mm-hmm. Right, this comes at the last line. Hamibiga Ber Israel no tzarich lamar b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam. Right. Oh, right. This is the one. If it's within Israel, you don't need to say it. V'miyesh alav orerim yitkayim b'chotamav. Right. But if people start complaining and saying, you know, what's the deal here? This isn't a good get. Then you check the signatures, and then it'll be a valid get based on its signatures. So now they say your er kama. It just says if there are orerim. But what does that mean? How many people have to be orerim before you have to go say, well, we better find some edim to validate the signatures of these edim, right? Or go to the court to see if the court recognizes the signatures. What kind of an iror do you need?
It was always the husband.
Yafeb, wait a minute, okay? So first of all, not here. We said it was the husband. That's why bichlal you need to say b'fanei nechtam, because you're worried about the husband, okay? Complaining. And that was exactly... But here, maybe they mean any orerim. You know, this is in Eretz where you didn't need to say b'fanei nechtam. If anyone complains about it, so you go check the signatures. So now, er kama. They wonder how many people. Is it enough? If one person complains and says the get's not valid, you have to go searching after the signatures? Or, because remember, As long as no one has argued, complained, anything, this get has two signatures. She can go get married based on it. But if she, let's say she goes to the court to get married and somebody comes forward and says, I don't think that's a valid get. Okay, I have reason to believe this get is not valid. So do we start looking into it at that point, or do we say, you're one person, we have a star with two signatures, you know, get out of here. So, Ilema ir erchad, Vaham Rabbi Yochanan, divrei hakol ein ir er pachot mishnayim. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan says, everybody agrees that there's no such thing as an iror unless it's done by two people. Just like we don't accept two witnesses, one witness in court for most issues, therefore an iror can only be from two people. Be'ela iror trei, but if two people come and complain, okay, so here we go, we have two witnesses come to court and say, this get is invalid. Okay, so now you go to check, is the get valid or not? And what do you find out? You find out that the two signatures on the get are valid based on witnesses, right? Two witnesses. So now what's the problem? Ela you're a trey, trey you trey ninu. My chazit to samachahane, samachahane. Now you end up with agent of two people that say the get's no good. Agent of two people that say the get is good. Well, now you have your typical case of edut hakhasha, which generally we say nobody's believed, in which case where would we be? The woman's not divorced. She's a neshadish because she goes back to what we know for sure. What do we know for sure? We know for sure this woman was married. Okay? So if you have two against two, that's not going to work. So it can't be an error of shnayim because then you're going to have two against two and we won't know who to believe. So it can't be that im yesh alav orim itkeim b'chotamav, because that basically means two against two and everyone should be thrown out and she should be married according to the halacha. So therefore, like Shoshana said, Ella, what type of iror we're talking about here? Ella iror de Baal. Okay, we're talking about the husband. And he has more legitimacy than a regular 1A to start claiming against this. So therefore, it's a case where the Baal is ma'arer, and then you claim b'chotamav. So now, as opposed to what I said in the beginning, and as the beginning I said the Havamina was that this is talking about a regular iror, not what we were talking about with the whole b'fanai nechtam, there was the husband. Now we're saying, no, this also is concerned that the husband's going to come and be ma'ara. Okay, new Mishnah. We're going to get back, now we're really going to deal with this shichrur avadim issue for the next little while. Hamevi get mi medinat hayam, ve'eino yachol lomar b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. Sorry, we're still in Gitim, but we're going to start comparing in a minute to the avadim. If you bring a get in medinat hayam, we saw this case, the Gemara brought this up a few dapim ago, and you can't say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. Remember, we discussed this. The Gemara is going to repeat the exact same thing we had there, where in the end they're going to conclude that what does this mean he can't? It means he brought the get, he was capable, and then all of a sudden he gets there and he can't speak anymore, right? So he can't say the words b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. So what do we do? Since he, in theory, could have said b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, and just now he can't, so im yesh alav edim yitkayem b'chotamav. Right, so if there's witnesses, right, signed on the document, then we check out their signatures and we can be mekayem there. But if there aren't edim to verify the signatures, then the get's not going to be good. Okay, echad gitei nashim ve'echad shechurei avadim. Now we're going to have a comparison between them. Both gitei nashim and shechurei avadim shavu lamolich ve'lamevi. They're the same. In terms of the molich, remember what the molich is? You molich the get from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, and the mevi is, you mevi the get from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Remember, the Mishnah was written in Israel, so everything's from the perspective of Israel. If it's molich, you send it from here, or mevi, you bring it to here. So now, that was the, later on in the Mishnah we saw that, was Chachamim's opinion in the previous Mishnah, that not only is Hamevi Mimidinat Hayam has to say B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam, but also, if you're going from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, you also have to say, right? And how did we explain it, you remember? If it's Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo, if that's our concern that we don't have Eidim, so it makes sense, because we're talking about far distances, and you might not be able to find the Eidim. If you say it's the issue of Lishma, then why do you have to do it? Everyone in Israel knows the Halacha, so what's the issue? That we made a gzerah on the molich because of the mevi. In other words, we want to make sure that everyone who brings it to here says it, so we're going to say also anyone who goes there also has to say it so that we don't get confused. Okay, that's how we explained it both according to Rabbah and according to Rabbah. Okay, so now what are we learning here? That also shichrur avadim needs the exact same thing. And again, here you see where they were mekel and avadim, because general kiyum shterot needs two witnesses, and in this case, we don't require two shlichim, right? One is enough. We allow one because we want to make it easier for them to be able to get married. וזו אחת מן הדרכים ששבו גיטי נשים לשחרורי עבדים. Okay, and this is one of the ways in which gitei nashim are similar to shechrur avadim. Okay, we're going to see in the Gemara now all the ways that get nashim is the same as shechrur avadim. We're going to see there's different opinions. There's one opinion that there's three ways, there's one that there's four ways, there's one that there's five ways. Then the Gemara is going to say, what about all these other ways? Okay, there's going to be a whole, that's going to be the most of our mahalach for today. Before we get to our mahalach, we're going to get to exactly what we said about the first line. What does this mean, Eino Yachol? The sugi we saw exactly on Daf Dalet Amabet. My Eino Yachol, Ile Machiresh, if you're going to say he can't say Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam, because he's mute and he can't speak, Chiresh Bari Tu Yagitahu? Can a Chiresh bring a get? Vahatznan, don't we know from the Mishnah, Hakok Shirin Lavieta get chutz mi cheresh shotev akatan. A cheresh can't bring a get. Someone who's mute is not allowed to bring a get. So therefore, Amar Rav Yosef, hacha b'mayaskina, what's the case we're talking about? Kigon shenatznu la kashu pikeach, they gave him the get, the shaliach gave the get to the woman when he was still, he could speak. Below he speak lomar, and then he was about to say the words, b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. And then at that exact moment he becomes mute, and that's the case they're talking about. Eino Yachol. Okay, obviously a very practical, difficult interpretation of the Mishnah. Okay, we've seen before where the Emoraim can't possibly imagine what the Mishnah is talking about for all sorts of reasons, and therefore they're put into a hole where they say it must be, they're backed into a corner where that's the best interpretation they can come up with. Echad gitei nashim ve'echad shechurei avadim. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is quote a braita. Tana Rabbanan. B'shlosha drachim shavu gitei nashim l'shechurei avadim. Okay, there's three ways in which they're similar. Shavu l'molich v'lamevi. Okay, that's our case. So we saw in the Mishnah already that you have to say, mevi get mimedinat hayam, or molich limedinat hayam, has to say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. V'chol get sheyesh alav eid kuti pasul. Chutz migitei nashim v'shechurei avadim. Any get that has an eid kuti. What's a kuti? A kuti are the shomronim. Who are the shomronim? They're the people that were living in Shomron after the galut of Ashur. They mixed up all the people. They put, right, that was the earlier galut when Yisrael went into galut, where their capital was Shomron. They brought in other people. Their whole theory was displacing people. They brought in other people to live in Shomron, and all of a sudden these lions started coming and attacking them, and they went and found a kohen who could teach them the laws, and they started keeping halacha. Now, there's a big machloket in the Gemara about whether these people are called gerei arayot, meaning that they were forced converts, and therefore they're not legitimate converts. Or some people say, no, yes, it's true, the arayot caused them to, right, it was the arayot that came to attack them, that's what they're called gerei arayot. Some people say, no, it's true that it came from a bad place, but ultimately they became gerei emet, they were legitimate converts. So clearly this sugya assumes that they're legitimate converts, because otherwise it couldn't possibly, right, this opinion in the Mishnah, in the Braita, says, what does it say? Any get, remember I told you that get means shtar in general, not just a get of women. So any shtar, I'm going to replace the word get with shtar just for your purposes. Any get, which really means any shtar that has an eid kuti, is pasul. Now, even if you say they were gerei emet, you still might not think they're the most reliable people. So therefore, they're saying you can't accept their testimony for a regular shtar. Chutz migitei nashim b'shechurei avadim. But again, since we want to have this kula for women and avadim so they can get remarried or get married when it comes to the eved, therefore, we're going to allow an eid kuti. So you follow why this has to be according to the one who says that they're gerei emet. Because otherwise, you wouldn't accept it even for a woman's situation or an eved situation if you really believe they weren't really gerim. V'chol hashtarot ha'olim be'erkaot shel ovdei kochavim. Okay, what does this mean? This means that if you have a document from a non-Jewish court that testifies to something, okay, about property, let's say, right, you live in America, for example, and you have a document that says that you own this house. So is that a valid document halachically? It is. Why? Because, can you figure out why? Because dina de machuta dina, right? When you live in another country, the laws of that country become your laws. You follow those laws, you're actually obligated halachically in the laws of the country. Okay, so now, If you have shtarot that come from the erkaot of the Avdei Kochavim, okay, a Beit Din of Avdei Kochavim, af al pi shachot mehem Avdei Kochavim, kshirim, okay, even though non-Jews are signed on it, that's a valid document because the assumption is that they have their own, you know, moral standards and they're not going to sign on a shtar unless it's a really valid one. Chutz mi kitein hashem b'shechurei avadim. What's the issue, though? Right? In these cases, if it's signed by a non-Jew, it's no good. Okay? Now, why is that? Because these are issues, right? Rashi says, "Dilav b'nei kritut ninhu ho'il v'lo shaychei b'torah kitim b'kiddushin." They, right? He says, "Aval al hadinim nitztavu b'nei noach." Okay? When it comes to b'nei, you know, things that, like, property law. They have their own system, right? And even Mibnei Noach, they have to keep to that, right? Part of it is to set up a system of shotrim and shoftim, right? The Bnei Noach. You have to have a rule of law. But when it comes to things that are specifically Jewish in nature, right? Like Shechur Avadim doesn't exist, right? At least the same way ours do. And marriage and divorce exist, but not halachically, right? It's a totally different area. So this is a similar, by the way, to the distinction we have with Nechasayai K'nuyim L'cha. There's two different realms here. One is the Isur V'Heter issue of is the woman married or not, and is the Eved free or not, and is he Chayav in Mitzvot, and is he a full-fledged Jew, and that's a whole different area from financial issues. So when it comes to financial issues, we believe them. But when it comes to non-financial issues that are Isur V'Heter, and specifically Jewish issues, then it's no good. So if you had a get that was signed by non-Jewish witnesses in a non-Jewish court, that's not going to be valid, okay? And likewise for Shechur Avadim. Okay, so now, fine, that was the three things, okay? So just to repeat the three things, we have number one, the Molichu Mevi, number two, the Eid Kuti is Kasher, and number three, the Erkaot of Avdei Kochavim is no good. Now, what do they say? Ukidivrei Rabbi Meir ba'arba'a. But Rabbi Meir adds a fourth. Ha'omer ten get zeli ishti, ushtar shechur zela avdi, ratzal lachzor b'shnehem yachzor, divrei Rabbi Meir. If you say, give this get to my wife, or give this shtar shechur to my eved, and then you change your mind before the get actually gets to our hands, or before the shtar shechur gets to the eved, you're allowed to. Why are you allowed to? Because when does the ma'aseh get take place? When she actually gets the get, right? And when does the shechur take place? When the eved gets the get. Okay? Now, what's the issue? Why would someone disagree with him? Get for sure is the case. Because it says, v'katav v'natan, you have to give it to her. Without the nitina, it's no good. But what's the issue here? Very interesting halachic issue that we've seen before. We talked about this before, that there's a concept of zachin la'adam shalo b'fanav. Do you remember learning that? Zachin la'adam, maybe we didn't learn, but I'm pretty sure we did. Okay? Ve'ein chavin la'adam shalo b'fanav. What does that mean? Anybody? Okay. Zachin is a zchut, and chavin is a chov, right? You make it worse for someone. If I go to give something to somebody, and I send, let's say I want to give you a gift, and I give it to a shaliach, and I say, go give this gift to whoever, okay? As soon as I give that gift to that shaliach, what happens? It's already given. Why? Because as soon as I do something good for someone, it's obviously good for you to get a gift, usually. I mean, sometimes gifts come with obligations, I don't know. But generally, it's good for someone to get a gift. And therefore, the assumption is that I definitely want it. And therefore, you can be zoche in that gift for me. The shaliach can take it upon himself to accept it for me, even without me being there or without my knowledge. But if it's a chov, if it's something that's not good for the person, then you can't do it unless it's b'fanav. Okay? Now, what's the issue? It's unclear where gitei nashim and shechurei avadim come up in this case. Because is it a zchut or is it a chova? Right? You can understand the balance, right? On the one hand, if you're married or you're an eved, you get taken care of by the husband, right? There's a whole bunch of financial stuff, right, that are... And the assumption is for the woman, it's clearly not a good thing for her. And therefore, okay, this is what we learned in the Tuesday class, that what? That she can only accept the get if she has a shaliach lekabbalah that she sent to accept the get on her behalf. But if she didn't send a shaliach and he sends a shaliach, his shaliach can only be what's called a shaliach leholacha, to deliver the get to her. But until she actually gets the get, right, it's not, there's no such thing as doing it for her, because the assumption is that a get is a chova, because she's no longer taken care of financially by the husband. When it comes to the shehur eved, there's a machloket about it. It's not clear. Is it good for him to be a free man? Because you would think, for sure, an eved always wants to be free. On the other hand, sometimes it's not always in his best interests. Some people prefer to have somebody taking care of them, and they're set, they're taken care of, they don't have to worry about finances, etc. So that's the machloket here. So Rabbi Meir says that's similar between them. In other words, kol od it doesn't get to their hands, right? As long as it doesn't get to them, you can be chozer bo. Okay? Whereas if you gave a gift and then changed your mind, once you give it to the shaliach, you can't change your mind anymore. It's done. Okay. So now we're going to have a diyun about this. Bishlama l'Rabbanan minyana l'mi'utei had Rabbi Meir. We understand why Rabbanan said there's three ways, because he wanted to say three and not four. But Rabbi Meir, elala Rabbi Meir minyana l'mi'utei mai. Why did Rabbi Meir say four? He should have just said there's another one, right? Why does he specifically use the number four? The assumption is if he says four, it must be. He's coming to say four and not five. So which case is he trying to exclude? L'me'ute ha'detanya. Here's going to be a fifth one, okay? There's another braita that says, Edim she'en yod'im lachtom, mikar'in lehem niyar chalat, u'mimalim et ha'kra'im dio. What does this mean? If you don't know how to sign a document, let's say you can't write, okay? And those are the only witnesses that are around. So what do? You take a piece, right? You take the paper where he's supposed to sign. You make little ridges in it. Okay, this is when they wrote with geo, it was easy, with ink. So, and then he would just fill in, instead of signing, he would fill in the areas with ink. So you could kind of set it up for him, and then he just fills in the area where his name appears. Amar Rashbag Bamed Varim Amurim. So this is talking about all shtarot. Rashbag comes and says, Bamed Varim Amurim, Bigitei Nashim. Aval, Shechurei Avadim, Ushar Kol Ashtarot. Okay, this only works for Gitei Nashim. But when it comes to Shechurei Avadim and all other Shtarot, Im Yod'im Likrot V'Lachtom Chotmim. If you can read and sign, then you sign. V'im Lav, Ein Chotmim. Okay, and if not, then you can't sign. So, again, what's he trying to say? According to the Tanakhama, this would be a similarity between Get Nashim and Shechur Avadim, that you can fill those holes, you know, if somebody can't sign. So now the Gemara just has a side question, which is, if you noticed, the Tanakhama only talked about they can't sign. And Rashbag says, Im yod'im likrot v'lachtom chotmim, if they can read and sign. So the Gemara asks immediately, Kriya mandachar shemei, who talked about reading? They were only, right, the topic was, can they sign? Can they write? Nobody was talking about, are they capable of reading? The assumption being what? That they must need to be able to read. If they're going to sign the shtar, they need to know what they're signing. Okay? So, chisur mechasher v'hachi katani. They say, actually, this bright is missing words. And this is the way it should read. Edim she'enam yod'im likrot, korim lifnehem v'chotmim. If they don't know how to read, you can read to them the shtar and they can sign on it. Obviously, there's a whole diyun about this in the Rishonim. What do you mean? You can sign on a document that you've never written, that you've never read? How do you know what's written in the document? Someone could read it to you, but who knows that they're telling you the truth? Some of the Mefreshim say it has to be someone who's reading to you is someone who's actually fearful of you, you know, that they're scared of you and they're not going to lie. Like, you know for sure that they're not lying to you, because it's almost like hearsay, right? You heard someone say this, so you're saying it. Here you heard someone read it to you, and there's a whole diyun about it. Not everybody agrees with that. Some people say it's okay anyway, but there's a whole issue about how this can actually be, that you don't actually have to read the shtar and you're just signing. And then he says, v'sheinam yodim lachtom, and if they can't sign, then mikar'in lahem. Okay? And that's why they say here, so according to Tanakhama, if they don't know how to read, you read for them and then they sign. And if they don't know how to sign, then you rip for them, you know, then you make those indentations for them. And then comes Rashbag to say, that's only in Gitei Nashim. But in Shechur Avadim and all the Shtarot, as long, right, if they know how to read and write, they read and sign, then they sign. And if not, which seems to imply also, if they can't read, then they can't sign at all. Okay. So now they're going to say, so that was the fifth similarity between them. According to one opinion, the Gitei Nashim and Shechur Avadim, both you can make ridges in the shtar and sign it. Now they say another one. V'tuleika, is there really nothing else? V'ha'ika, here's another case. Ha'omer tnu get zeh li'ishti, v'shtar shechur zeh la'avdi, v'met. Lo yitnu la'acharmita. If you say, give this get to my wife, or give this shtar shofar to my eved, and then you died before they actually gave the shtar, they don't give it after death, because there's no such thing as giving, right? This is again, as long as the get is not affected, then as soon as he dies, she's a widow, right? She doesn't need a get, right? It's not relevant anymore. Same with the shichur eved. There's no such thing as a shichur. You can't give there can be no giving of a get or a shtar shichur if the person's not alive. There's no such thing.
But if she was divorced and she couldn't marry a Kohen,
it would definitely affect her status if he divorced. In other words, if she got divorced a minute before he died, then she'd be a divorcee. She wouldn't be able to marry a Kohen. But if she didn't get divorced and he died, and let's say they didn't have kids, then she'd be chayav in yibum. There would be that also. There's all sorts of ramifications in both directions. We actually saw this in Yevamot, that some men, as soon as they were on their deathbed, they would give their wives a get so that they wouldn't have to do yibum. He didn't want her to end up marrying his brother. So he would divorce her right before death in order so that she wouldn't have to do yibum. But then, of course, she's a divorcee and can't marry a Kohen. So it messes, you know, it helps her on one hand, it messes her up on the other hand. There's all sorts of issues here at play. But if you say tnu mane leploni vamet, yitnu la'acharmita. But if you say, this is what we talked about in Matnat Shechit Merah, you say, give this gift to so-and-so, then they would give it after his death. So that's another way, right, that a get shichur of a woman is like a get shichur of an eved, and not like anything else. Okay, we're going to stop here for today. We'll pick up here tomorrow.